The Houston Rockets are 26-34 and are firmly out of the play-in picture. That begs the question, who is the problem for this Houston Rockets? Is Alperen Şengün the problem? Let's talk about it. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of Summit State of Mind, presented to you by the Apollo Podcast Network and powered by Big City Wings. I am your host, Kenny. Welcome once again to another episode. In this episode, we're going to discuss who and what the problem may be for this Houston Rockets that is currently standing at a 26-34. We're going to unpack and dissect each player that has been pointed to. We're going to discuss who the problem may be and ultimately why this team is out of the play-in picture. Let's go ahead and open this episode up one time with a question. Who, in your opinion, is the problem for this Houston Rockets? Why are they 26-34? Is it because of Jalen Green? Is it Alperen Şengün? Is it Coach Ime Udoka? Is it Dylan Brooks? Could it be even Fred VanVleet? Could it be the injuries? There's a plethora of players or coaches in which you could choose from, but ultimately, who in your opinion is the problem for why this team is 26-34 and out of the play-in picture? Guys, I'm gonna be honest with you, it's been a pretty rough week personally for me, not from the obviously from a Rocket standpoint, but from a personal standpoint, and I do apologize for not coming out with an episode sooner. However, the Houston Rockets do continue to struggle and are ultimately now they are completely out of the playoff picture, six games behind the 10th seed Lakers, who are 33-29 currently, as opposed to the 26-34 record by the Houston Rockets. Let's break it down one time, and I think the best way to do that is to kind of unpack it properly. With the title obviously being Alperen Şengün, is he the problem for the Houston Rockets? Am I being facetious just slightly? Just because I fully believe that he's not the main problem, let me go ahead and preface by saying this. I'm not pinning anything on him, or the totality of the team's problems belie on our all-star shoulders. I do not believe that, but I do want to unpack and dissect the players for whom the fans, especially fans on Twitter whose voices are very loud, as to, you know, the players that they are blaming this season on, and if it merits the warrant that it deserves. So let's go ahead and unpack it properly. The Houston Rockets are 3-9 in the month of February. It is not a good record at all. They ended ended February at a 3-9 record overall. It was just not a good month. That was the month, in my opinion, if they were going to make up ground and make a stand and actually vie for play-in territory, or to continue to be in the hunt for play-in territory, that was where they were going to have to make their presence known, go on a win streak or something. But the 3-9 record firmly takes them out of the race, essentially. I fully expect them at this point to not make the play-in. If they do, it's got to be some type of miraculous 15-game win streak, which I highly doubt they're going to get on. 3-9 record in the month of February, 10-19 since the new year. 10-19, that is not, since the calendar turned from 2023 to 2024, they became, you know, they were 10-19. There were a couple games over 500 before getting into the new year. Ultimately, since the new year, at 10-19 overall, and that begs the question, why? And I think that's how a lot of fans feel. Why? Why did this team regress so rapidly to the point of, you know, they're not even in play-in territory when the calendar had turned over? They were still in play-in positioning. They were the ninth seed. They're hovering around 9 or 10. They were in play-in territory. So the question begs, what and who is the root of the problem? Let's unpack that right now. Let's first unpack it with the episode title. Alperen Şengün, is he the problem for this Houston Rockets? Let me just say this. I do not believe that it is pinned on one player as to why this team is struggling. But I do want to highlight the lowlights as to each player that the fans have harped on and why these guys are struggling. Let's start with Alperen Şengün, who started the season as good as any center in the NBA at his peak. This year, he was vied as a top four, top five center in the NBA, continuously making noise for possible All-star status. Ultimately did not get in. He was short in the votes, didn't get voted in by the players or coaches. It just begs the question now, why the regression? I'll start with point number one. Point number one, when you start to get good at what you do, once you start honing in the craft that makes you successful, the thing is, other teams, this is NBA teams, this is the best teams in the world, what are they going to do? They are going to scout and play accordingly. So Alperen Şengün has seen more doubles and triples at this juncture in the past maybe 2 or 3 months than he has seen probably in the totality of his entire career, including his career in Turkey. So when you add that up, it begs the question for him now, how does he adjust accordingly to that? Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, he has never played this many games in starter minutes in his entire career. Okay, he was still averaging close to 21 points per game at 53% from the field. Sexy stats by any means, but this is the first time in his career where he's playing within the span of an 82-game season, where he is expected to be the anchor, the everyday center for his team. We always thought conditioning might end up being an issue when we got to games 40, 50, 60. We're starting to see it now. And how are we seeing it? That goes to point number three, the lack of defense that he is playing. Now, I'm not saying he's not trying. I think he is trying. I think his body is just giving up on him. Because what's happening is he's playing defense and he's falling for more pump fakes. This is what happens when you're tired. You end up kind of dragging your feet. You're trying to get ahead of the play. But what happens is that your body and your legs get tight to the point where you start falling for pump fakes. You kind of just start going to your instincts, which is good, yet not good if your body isn't responding accordingly. That's what's happening. He's getting beat off the dribble on switches. They're headhunting him on switches. He's doing drop back coverage on defense. And what's happening is that the guards are taking full advantage of it. When you have games like against Bol Bol and the Suns, Bol Bol was feasting on pump fakes from the three because he was hitting threes and getting to the cup. Alperen Şengün was at his mercy at that point. So defense has been such a problem for him these past couple, past month or two, just because of the fact that there's been more demand on his body than anything. Now, how do you fix that? He has to get into better shape. It's apples to apples, it's oranges to oranges. There's no other way that you can go about it. He just has to get in better shape. And when he can get in better shape, he can kind of mold his body. And that's the good thing about this. He got his first season under his belt. He's getting his first season under his belt. So he's going to have to find a way. Okay, how do I adjust now? Because I feel my body has felt the rigors of an 82-game season. Now, how do I adjust accordingly to exceed expectations the following year and to get even better? He has to continue to contend his body in many different ways, either change his diet, increase workouts, but he has to get in better shape. Jokic went through it. Alperen Şengün's going through it now. The unfortunate part is he is still a part of the problem, not the biggest problem, but I think in my opinion, each player that I'm going to discuss here does have a hand as to why this team is 26-34. Alperen Şengün gets a bulk of it, obviously, just because he is the all-star. And shouts to my Turkey listeners that continue to be a fan of his and continue to listen to our show. And I appreciate each and every one of y'all. But, you know, I just want to be real and at least discuss as to why he has been struggling. He can fix these problems. He can fix it. It's just up to him, his work ethic, and making sure that he gets into a proper diet, regimen, training. I fully expect him next year to be ready for the rigors of an 82-game season, and I fully expect the numbers to go up accordingly, and ultimately defense should improve, which would ultimately lead to more wins. Let's go ahead and move on, ladies and gentlemen, to player number two. Who could player number two be as I'm looking at my clock right now? Player number two be. It's got to be Jalen Green. In my opinion, and I think in opinions of the players of, I'm sorry, not the players, of the fans, I think the biggest disappointment of this season has been Jalen Green. In terms of what they expected from him in year three of his career, what they were expecting him to do under Ime Udoka, under a viable coach with a scheme, a system, and seeing how he plays. Ultimately, this did not help his cause. He had been struggling. He'll go for stretch, especially this later stages in the season. You're seeing him, for example, the game against Phoenix. He went off 30-plus points, ultimately led the Rockets to a win, literally willed them to a win in Phoenix against Kevin Durant, against Bradley Beal, you know, against Devin Booker and all these stars in Phoenix. Ultimately, they got another win. They got two wins now out of Phoenix, which is absolutely incredible to think about, knowing that Jalen Green had a hand in both wins. But the totality of the season as to why Jalen Green is struggling, because of the fact that we're going to call a spade here. He just does not have good handle. Like, his handles are just not where it needs to be. He loses the ball consistently when he gets into the paint. He loses control when he consistently gets into a paint. When he gets into the paint and he has the handle, he does not make layups at a high percentage. That's another problem. That's a big regression as opposed to where he was last season, where he did have a higher percentage from paint points, from getting layups. So why the regression to this season? Could it be the pressure from expecting more, knowing that we were supposed to win, knowing that there were supposed to be more wins, knowing that this team was supposed to vie for a play-in? You know, that, yeah, that's part of it. Could it also be a part of the fact that Jalen Green himself has felt and put pressure on himself? Absolutely, I think so. I think the story of where he sees his career, where he sees himself, I think he wants to be on the pantheon of the greats. I think he wants to be there. He absolutely believes he could be there. But when you apply that type of pressure on yourself, how do you respond? Pressure can either turn coals into diamonds or just keeps coal into coal. And maybe that's where he ends up. But that's the thing. The regression in the paint, the regression in the handles, losing on defense, not being able to get back, getting in his own head, getting in his own space, not getting minutes from Ime Udoka when it matters, knowing that if he's not playing well, Ime is going to pull him, that there is no excuse. That could be part of it too. I think the game is 80% mental, and I think the game is also 20% physical. Shout outs to Little Giants. I really believe that in terms of, and I think the NBA, especially with the rigors of an 82-game season and possible, you know, a chance to getting 16 wins in the playoffs, that's, you're looking at possibly almost over 100 games, especially if you're in the playoffs. I think Jalen Green's put a lot of pressure on himself, and ultimately I think that's what's led him down this path. And it's an unfortunate path. And the thing is, when a team loses, they have to find a scapegoat. And I'm sorry to say this, Jalen Green has been the scapegoat for Rockets fans. Why? Because they had his expectations all the way up here, and he did not meet them. That's calling a spade a spade. He did not meet the expectations that everyone had put forth from him. So when you don't meet these expectations, and you're expected to be one of the franchise cornerstones, what's going to happen? Fans are going to turn on you. They're going to start placing blame. And that's exactly what's happening now. Alper and Şengün didn't have super high expectations going into the season, yet he exceeded it. That's why fans are firmly on his side, as opposed to Jalen Green, who had high expectations, who was believed to be a cornerstone, and then ultimately was not able to meet the expectations during this season. So for Jalen Green overall, that's where he kind of stands right now. And I 100% believe he was a part of the problem. I believe that if he had played consistently, locked in on defense, a decent percentage from shooting, gosh, I mean, he only shot like 18 or 19% from three in the entire month of February. That's despicable. 35% field goal percentage in the month of February. That's despicable as well. If we just got average, normal starting shooting guard stats, I guarantee you, we would have won a heck of a lot more games. Maybe hover closer to 500. But the fact that he's not even there is definitely a cause for concern. Let's move on to the next player, obviously. I want to talk about Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks, who came in as an $80-plus million guy, who surprised everybody, including myself, who I was a firm Dylan Brooks believer, came in and was shooting 60% from three the first, like, seven games of the season. And then had good quality shots and was playing very well up until the time he got injured, until he strained his oblique. And then when he came back from the oblique injury, he's regressed back to the medium. A lot of people are saying, Memphis Dylan is making an appearance. Memphis Dylan is making an appearance. Why? Because the team is struggling. He's probably putting more pressure on himself to think that he could take it upon himself to get more buckets. That's another part of the problem. Dylan Brooks setting himself up, thinking that he's picking the best shot, thinking that these guys aren't playing well, so I'm going to pick up the slack for the team. I see what he's doing, but the hero ball is definitely not the move in terms of having conducive success overall for the team, which ultimately can lead to wins. His defense, his defense will always be there. I'm not worried about the defense. It is his offense that has been atrocious as of late. The shot selection alone has been an absolute nuclear option in not a good way. Dylan Brooks has to pick better shots for this team to succeed. Doesn't need to be a spot-up guy by any means. If he feels like he can post up on a smaller guy, absolutely take it. But he's been posting up on, like, Bull. Like, you don't post on a guy that's, like, 7 feet plus tall. You have to pick your spots and your moments, and his shot selection has gotten progressively worse as the season has gone on. So ultimately, Dylan Brooks also becomes a part of the problem as to why this team is 26-34. He needs to get better at his selection. And if he gets better at his selection, maybe we can end the season on a win streak. But it has to start with the veterans and Dylan Brooks being one of them. So that's where we stand in regards to Dylan Brooks as to why he is also part of the problem. Let's talk Fred VanVleet, the other vet on the team, who has been very consistent this season in terms of assists and his numbers. Where he lacks, two things. Point number one, shot selection. He has bad shot selection, guys. This is part of the problem as to why Toronto was like, take him and you'll see for yourself. That was one of the red flags on him, was his shot selection. He does take questionable shots. He's one of the best players on the team. He's earned the right. He's the highest paid player on the team. He's earned the right, $40-plus million, has absolutely earned the right to chuck a couple of shots here and there. He's the most clutch player on the team. So he's earned that right. However, there's no excuse as to why he's chucking up a shot with no play in a clutch moment, which has ultimately lost a couple of games for this Rockets team. The questionable shot selection is one. And then two, his field goal and shooting percentage is very mediocre for the type of money that we're paying him. That's the thing. And that's another problem that a lot of Fred haters had, was that you're paying him this much, but he's not going to shoot a good percentage, and he's not. Ultimately, why does he have to do that? Because he has to create. He's the only true point guard on this team. Jalen Green's not a point guard. Aaron Holiday's not a point guard. Alperen Şengün, yeah, he's a dime passer, a wizard, a magician, but he's not a true point guard. FVV is the only true point guard, so he has to create his own shot, which ultimately leads to bad shot selection, which ultimately leads to lower percentage shots, which would lead to a lower percentage overall. So that's why, and when the pressure of knowing that the season is slipping away, you see Fred VanVleet, you see Dylan Brooks, are two veterans that came in to help this team and have helped this team, not to discredit them in any way, have come in and absolutely started chucking shots because they feel the season slipping away from them. And that's what they did. And ultimately, it didn't work in their favor. And that is why this team is where they're at 26-34. Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet hold part of the blame as well. They need to have better shots. Take better shots. And when they do that, I'm telling you, this team will start seeing progressive improvement. But the teams are finally adjusting to this Rockets. They're seeing their movement, seeing what they're doing, seeing what they're not doing, taking advantage accordingly. The pick and roll. They see it. That's how they take advantage. So how do the Rockets counteract that? That leads to the next, not player, but the next person I'm going to see is part of the person that deserves part of the blame. It's got to be Coach Ime Udoka. Coach Ime Udoka, who has been phenomenal this season. I'm going to be honest with you. The guys are 26 and 34, 60 games, 22 games left. Can ultimately bring these guys to like 35 wins. That's impressive considering where we were in the past. 17, 20, and 22 were the win totals for the last three seasons. If he can get us to 35, it's a successful season whether people expected it or not. But Ime Udoka, having higher expectations, wanting to make play-in, has not made the adjustments accordingly that has made this team successful. He hasn't done it. He hasn't done it on the defensive end. He's had some questionable rotation choices. He's been leaning more on the vets especially during these past games, leaning more on Aaron Holiday. You know, not giving Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore enough minutes. He's been kind of fluctuating with that and how he has been distributing the minutes. The thing is, everyone's like, oh, throw Amen, throw Cam, give him all the minutes. It's not that. He's trying to figure out the best combination that works for this team. Still, at game 60, is still trying to figure out the best combo that works for this team. And that's the thing. I believe that this team at its peak could have been the 6th seed. I still believe it. I don't care that they're 26 and 34. I think at their peak, everyone stays healthy, everyone does what they need to do, they can vie for it. I thought they were more than capable. Ime Udoka has not made the proper adjustments to this team, especially in the later stretches of the past maybe 10 games, to ultimately put this team in line for success. It's not fully his fault, but he's not countering the defense of other teams that have already adjusted to the Alperen Şengün and Fred VanVleet pick and roll. He's been trying to counter adjust it and trying to get like players like Jalen going, but in turn when he does that, It doesn't really help overall the team. That's the thing. That is the ebbs and flow, and that's why coaching in the NBA is one of the toughest jobs in the world. I'm not excusing Ime for anything that he's done, but let's be honest, he deserves part of the problem. And ultimately, let's talk about the last topic as to why this team is 26 and 34. Injuries. Tari Eason has just been announced to be out for the rest of the season. He's only played a handful of games this entire season. Maybe we'll end the season at, I think, 30 games, maybe. That is rough, and that is a tough loss to have. Who has cemented his way into rotation minutes? Jabari's missed a couple of games. Alpi missed a couple of games. Fred VanVleet was injured for a good portion, for a couple of weeks. Dylan Brooks was injured for a good portion for a couple of weeks. Amen Thompson was hurt in the beginning of the season. Cam Whitmore turned his ankle. There's been injuries on this team. That has partial to blame too. Ime Udoka has not had a chance to work with this team at full strength for most of the entire season. And when you don't do that, you have to consistently make your adjustments. And I think that's been part of the problem as to why this team has not been successful. Ime Udoka hasn't really, in my opinion, had a fair shake in terms of playing all the players that is available and healthy in front of him. I'd like at some point for everyone to be healthy and see what Ime can do, because we saw it in the beginning stages of the season when they were able to go off because all the players were there, all the players were available, and all the players were healthy. You know, sans Amen Thompson, who was still trying to, you know, etch his way into the rotation because he's a rookie. But the guys were healthy. The guys were playing. And you saw the success that they garnered from it. I think injuries has a big part to play in this as well. Ultimately, the reason why these guys are struggling, it's a multitude of things. And I literally listed these are literally, if you were to ask Rockets fans and tally it or survey it, and all the players, including Ime Udoka, tally in front of you, they'll probably blame each and every one of those players, that they're all deserving of their places in no particular order. And I think each of those players have played a part as to why this team has not been successful, especially these last 10, 15, 20 games, at 10, especially with the 10-19 record since the new year. I hope that this team can end on a strong note. But I did want to take this episode to kind of at least discuss as to why this team is struggling and who exactly has earned that part of the blame for it. And I think it was good that we dissected it and discussed it. Let's go ahead and get ready to go home here. But before we do, once again, I have to give a shout out and an ad one time to Big City Wings. That's right. Houston's Wing Joint, Apollo's Wing Joint. One time. That's right. You got your two for Tuesday. And literally, I'm recording this on a Monday, so you can pull up to your closest Big City Wings nearest to you and get a buy one, get one. That's right. So you buy five, you get 10. You get buy 10, you get 20. Me, I'm a Gold Fever guy as well as a Lemon Pepper guy. Give me half and half, and I am absolutely money with a side of fries. The best wings in the entire city of Houston. That's right. Find your nearest Big City Wings that is nearest to you. That's right. Houston's Wing Joint, Apollo's Wing Joint. One time. Let's get ready to go home here on another episode. Thank you so much for joining me once again. I'm so happy I can get in front of a camera and actually discuss and talk with y'all. Houston Rockets, despite this team struggling, we're going to keep our heads up. We're going to hope that they end this season accordingly. You can go ahead and follow our show at Summit State of Mind _ pod on Instagram or Summit SOM pod on Twitter. Follow our media company at Apollo MBA, at Apollo HOU. You can follow me on Twitter at Summit Commish. Follow my co-host and my brother, the GM, at JP_Mirabueno. You can go ahead and super kick that subscribe button one time. Subscribe to Apollo HOU for the best Houston sports content that we have to offer. NFL, NBA, MLB, anything, MLS, we have it all for you. And shout outs once again to our Apollo podcast brethren that continue to kill the game. That's right, BTD, Beyond the Diamond, the crown jewel of Astros podcast. Give them your first listen for all Houston Astros content. Shout outs to the Apollo Texans. That's right, Off the Gridiron. Be sure to give them your first listen for all Houston Texans content. And once again, we appreciate each and every one of y'all for making us your first listen for all Houston Rockets content. That's enough from me here, and let's get ready to go home. Once again, I'm going to end this episode as I end every episode with a go Summit, go Apollo. Houston Rockets, please give me something to work with here. Go Rockets. Oh, and by the way, watch basketball. Yeet!
The Summit for life.